Appreciate the extra encouragement. Again, since Dana just yelled my name is Luke Golden. I'm actually not the pastor of Langston Life Spring Church. The pastor is Dorsey. He's not here this weekend. He's actually away at a conference. So he asked me to speak well over about a month ago. And so here we are today. A little bit about me. I recently graduated in May with a child and family development degree. Yep. That's an awesome degree. Currently, I'm intern at Christian Campus Fellowship, otherwise CCF, as most of you know. And I've been attending Langston Life Spring, for about 5 years now, ever since kind of my freshman year of college. And so, really, I just want to kind of start with a prayer, because one, it's going to help me, and then also to just kind of help us get the kind of spirit that we want in the place today. So if y'all bow your heads with me. Father, you know that I have nerves being up here. You know that I'm not qualified to be up here. You know that I'm not necessarily worthy to be up here, Father, but that I'm going to put forth my best effort for you, Father, and that by your Spirit, I'll be able to do amazing things up here for you, Father. I just ask that we are open and honest with ourselves today, Father, and that we open up our hearts to your word, and that we really look at our lives and kind of reflect on the different things that's going on and really see what you have in store for us today. I'm just thankful for all the support and the love that you bestowed upon me personally and just through other people. And I hope that someone can get something out of this today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so the title of the sermon today is actually called Busy by Design. See, we tend to design our lives to be busy, but many times it leads us to not really seeing the opportunities from God that are in our lives. See, I talked about me recently graduating, and I kind of got this new perspective that God started laying on my heart kind of during the last semester of school. I was taking a really hard class in professional development. I was finishing up being a leader at CCF and getting ready for my summer internship through the school. And if I hadn't gone through some of the craziness or some of the busyness during my college career, I honestly wouldn't really have been able to survive that internship, because it was honestly probably the most busy point of my life. And a lot of times I found myself neglecting my time with God because of it. And now I'm working with college students, and they'll ask me what it's like to not have homework, and I'm like, the answer is, it's definitely great. It's great not to have homework anymore. But I think my perspective has widened a little bit, because although I've went through college and I have some life behind me, I still have a lot of life ahead of me, so I can't really speak to where certain people are on their perspective, but I can try to say that I kind of like the idea of having the structured class, knowing you're probably going to have homework, go to CCF, sleep, repeat. And what I've learned is that you can kind of replace homework with other words, and it causes the same amount of stress, the same negative attitude on myself, and the same level of busyness. And see, I was naive enough to think that once I was done being a college student, that somehow this internship at CCF was going to make me less busy, or I was going to have more time on my hands to invest in relationships that I neglected while I was a college student because I had homework or other things like that. But really, I found out that wasn't really the case. And so I started thinking of this idea of busy and what it means to be busy, and I realized it was something that was just going to we're going to carry it through our whole entire life. And so when it comes to busyness, we tend to do some things. One of them is depreciate the value of other people's busyness. We compare it to our own, and we look at theirs and say they're more busy than us, or we look at them and say they're less busy than us. And if they're more busy, they're somehow validated in that and saying, yeah, good for you. You're more busy than me. You're doing it right. If they're less busy, we tend to think, well, maybe they're lazy. Maybe they have it easy. Maybe they're just not doing what I'm doing. But also, sometimes I find with busyness, we actually dread having a moment of peace. We sit here and pray and we say, God, I really want you to give us peace right now, or give me some peace right now. I really want you to quiet everything down in my life, and I want to be able to have a break. And then it's like, we get that break and it's like, well, now I'm bored or something. I need to go back to being busy, because we're so used to it. And so why care if everyone is busy? What's the point of talking about it? And I did some research, and a Christian philosopher by the name of Dr. Dallas Willard suggests that 6 out of 10 people will agree with the following statement. The busyness of my life gets in the way of developing my relationship with God. Now, working with college students, I feel like this number should be 10 out of 10. And so whether you're young, college, recent graduate, parent, or grandparent, we can probably all classify our lives as busy. And so how do we push past the mantra of I'm busy to get to where we're living out God's intended design for our life and not using it as a crutch? So our scripture today, which they're going to put up on the board, our first scripture is actually in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. And y'all can follow along up there maybe? Yeah. All right, so as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So as I was reading through the scripture, one of the first things that I noticed is that God will not compete for our attention. If we will not withdraw from the things that obsess us, the things that exhaust us to death, the things that kind of put us into a solitude or silent state, you know that person that's like busy, 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 like you can't even talk to them, they won't even give you 5 seconds of their time. They're like just walking around, they're like, oh, I got to do this. And you try to have a conversation, they won't do it. And so it puts us into a period of solitude and silence where the devil can really start to attack us because we're not being supported by anyone. Or sometimes, you know, we just show up to an event. We show up to church today. We're thinking about all these other things, you know, that all these other things have our attention. God's not trying to compete with that. See, Martha was busy doing her own things in this story, but God didn't call her over to force her to listen. It never said that. Martha was over there getting preparations made. She was making food. She was doing things that she thought was important. But God didn't once say, Martha, stop what you're doing and come over here. And I don't really think he does that for our lives either. If we want to be busy and if we want to keep doing things and not give him time and attention, he doesn't force us. It's part of that free will, right? And so God will show up in your situation and he wants you to listen, but you have a choice. It's your choice. You have to choose to listen to Christ. The second thing I noticed is that Martha complains because she's been busy doing what she thought was important, but it didn't really matter. And so she's upset because no one's helping her with it. And so what this kind of looks like is the fact that you're going and doing all these things, and you're like, this is all really super important, and like, you're looking at all these people over here that aren't helping you, and you're just like, why are they not helping me? And so then you start getting upset, you start getting frustrated, and then the thought of even trying to focus on God goes way out the window because now you got all these other emotions and these different feelings that you're focusing on. And so you create extra work sometimes because of that loneliness factor we mentioned earlier. And honestly, Martha can probably identify with the person that you see posting on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat about the stuff that they do for God because they're trying to seek extra validation when really God wants them to do it out of love like Mary. Or Martha might be the person that was prioritizing herself in the wrong way. And it's sort of like people that come to the, you know, you get to the end of the week and they come up to you and they apologize for not giving you attention during the week because they wanted to do other things. And sometimes I get that in my own life, right? I'm guilty of this because, you know, I promise people, I'm like, all right, we're going to go to lunch. And then, you know, at the week's end, I'm looking back and I'm like, I was supposed to go to lunch on Wednesday and I didn't do it, right? Or maybe God wanted me to help volunteer in a certain aspect of my life and I didn't do it because I was busy, right? And so another thing, I guess, that I noticed from the scripture is that God says that what Mary has done is better, and only one thing is needed in this whole story. So if you look at the scripture specifically, it says, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. And so, you know, I'm thinking Mary and Martha, this is the similar story from what we've heard in John. In John 12, verses 2 through 3, you see this. So they gave a dinner for him there, him being Jesus. Martha was serving them, and Lazarus was one of the ones reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. So the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. And so Luke chooses to highlight Martha's story because it comes after the Good Samaritan story. And so his version of it is he highlights what Martha was doing, whereas John highlights what Mary is doing. And I can appreciate these two different accounts in the gospel because it shows us the intentionality behind what Mary's doing. If we just read it in Luke, we're like, okay, well, Mary done something and it's better, but what did she do? She listened to Jesus and she focused, but what else? She used a pound of very costly oil. And so what this teaches us is that no matter the cost of following God, we must be willing to do it. She anointed the feet of Jesus. What that teaches us is it humbles ourselves and listens to what God wants us to do. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. And like, I don't really know about you, but I don't think I've ever took my hair and wiped someone's feet with it. And to me, that kind of takes a relationship to a whole nother level. But really, you know, as I was thinking through this, and even Maria gave me some insight, is like, this kind of shows how Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with you. And as Mary sits at his feet and listens, she spares no expense to follow him. She humbles herself. But instead of being busy doing other stuff, what he really wants us to do is just sit down and be with him. Right? And so what Mary did, the reason it was important was because she stopped doing all the things that she thought was necessary or just the busyness itself in life and took time to intentionally be with God. And so think about that. Have you ever necessarily been guilty with just doing the things of life? Thanks, Preston. You don't necessarily have to raise your hand. But have you ever been guilty of just going throughout your day and doing everything that, yeah, it may be important to you. It may be important. If it doesn't get done, you flunk out of class or, you know, you don't pick your kids up from school, they're left at school, all this stuff. It's important, but if you don't think about God in the process, you get to the end of the day and you sit there and look back and you're like, where was God today? Did I even see God move? Or you get to the end of the week and you go, where was God? Or maybe you get to the end of the month and you're like, where's God moved in my life? Or maybe it's been years since you've taken time to spend with God because you've been either so busy or you've just been living, you know, hey, it's okay, you know, I'm busy, I don't need God, like, I have a relationship with God, but everything's okay, like, I'm good, nothing bad's happening, you know, I'm just here. It might be years you get stuck in that pattern. Another thing that points, you know, gets to me from this passage is that Scripture doesn't really tell us how Martha responds after Jesus tells her, what Mary has done better. So if you look at the end of the verse, it says Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. It doesn't tell us what Martha did. So I appreciate that because similar to if you ever read the Scripture about the thorn that's in Paul's side, it could have been anger that Paul was dealing with, but he doesn't list it. He just says a thorn in his side. And the reason that I appreciate that is because if mine's anger, if mine's insecurity, if mine's whatever the thorn in my side is, I can relate to that passage still. Because it doesn't specifically say exactly what Paul was dealing with. But in this situation too, have you ever met that person? Or, you know, I've been guilty of this actually, is just I'm so busy, I'm doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing. And then, you know, I get to that and they're like, Luke, just slow it down, you know, go spend time with God. Well, you know what? I was spending time with God. I was doing everything at CCF. I was there. I had my intern meeting this morning. I talked to somebody about Jesus. You know, what do you mean spend time with God? What do I mean? What do you mean? You know, have you ever responded that way when someone tries to tell you, like, go spend time with God? And what it means is you want to sit down at the feet of Jesus. And now you physically can't do that, but one way you do it is you open up your Bible and you actually read it. And you sit there and you spend time with God and you're asking yourself, God, what would you have me do with my life? You know, what does Scripture do? Because if you look at this passage, it's not very big, right? I got about seven different things just from that little bit of Scripture. And so to me, Scripture is a really powerful thing. And so it's kind of nice to not see that response because then, you know, maybe it's some other response that you have. You know, you can speak to what you personally respond, and you can be honest with yourself of, well, have I spent time with God lately? You know, have I been intentional about that? See, the last thing that I noticed in this passage, and honestly, I almost missed it, and it wasn't until about reading it 10 or so times that I really saw it. And it caught me off guard because if you look at it, it says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? And then there's this thing, tell her to help me. Now, if we look at this, Martha just told Jesus what to do. Does that sound a little familiar? Don't sometimes we love to tell God what to do in our life? Don't we love to be the own author of our story? And see, I'll tell you this story about something that God really blew me away with this week. And it almost, you know, didn't happen because I was on campus. I was passing out dum-dums, which this side of the room knows what I mean by that. But basically, we go on campus, we take dum-dums, which is a candy sucker, and we basically pass it out to people and pass out our information, tell them about CCF. And usually you get like 50 rejections to one person stopping by and saying, I want one, but hey, we get out there and do it every year. But there was this dude on the bench that was probably, you know, a good 10 feet away from me. It wasn't very far. And, you know, people are walking by. And so I could have said, you know what, I'm busy. I got people walking by. I got people to talk to right here. But for some reason, God really laid it on my heart to go talk to that person. And for a second, I was just kind of like, well, God, he's over there. If he wanted a sucker, he would have came over here and got it. I mean, he doesn't want to talk to me, right? But it's still, you know, it's still just, as I stood there, it kept, you know, messing with me. And I was just, all right, I'm going to go talk to him. So I walk over there, and I talk to him, and I say, hey, you know, my name's Luke. Here's the blah, blah. I tell him all about CCF. Ask him what his name is. His name's Tyree. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I'd love to see you come out. And that was like on Tuesday. I invited him to our events the rest of the week. Next day, he was sitting on the bench again, and I said, hey, Tyree, and he waved at me, and he said, hey, and he was sitting by himself again. Then his friend walks up, and I see him tap his friend, sends his friend over to talk to me. So I give him a dum-dum. I talk to him about CCF. They go and sit back down on the bench. The next day, them two are sitting on the bench again. Two more of their friends come over, and the guy that Tyree sent up there sends two people up to say, you know, tell me about CCF. They don't even care about the dum-dum. They're sitting there waiting for me to finish explaining to somebody else about CCF, and then they tap me on the shoulder, and they're just like standing there, and it's like, and I go to hand them a dum-dum. They're like, no, I don't want the dum-dum. I want to know what you're talking about, right? And to me, that's amazing because I could have not listened to God right there. I could have told him what to do. But listening to that allowed four different people to at least know about CCF and have a seed planted, right? And so that was something that just stood out to me. And when I was reading this, I was like, oh yeah, man, I just did that this week. But the last topic, which doesn't really relate to Scripture, but I think, at least for me personally, it hits home a little bit more, is sometimes being busy is the excuse used, but it isn't the root of the problem. And what do I mean by that? Last year, I was asked to do the message for Compassion Christians Youth Group, which makes this place kind of look small in terms of the number of people, right? So my usual response for something like this, well, the youth leader asked me about a week in advance, and my usual response is like, I'm gonna just do it, right? That's just my response. You know, I think John Williams got the 1, 2, 3, go. Like, I love that. It's awesome. You know, and, you know, maybe you have your own thing. But that's just what I do. And, you know, sometimes, though, you start thinking about all the different things. And, you know, I started getting into the weekend. You know, this is the Wednesday. I started getting to the weekend. There was a bunch to go on that weekend. I don't quite remember exactly what it was, but, you know, it warranted enough stress and just busyness that I was like, you know, whatever. Then we had finals week. And so, like, I had every excuse in the book, traditionally, if you will, about I'm so busy that I could sit there and text them and say, I'm too busy. And that's what I did. On Sunday night, I texted them and said, hey, I'm too busy this week. I got finals. I had like a laundry list of things that I had going on. I was like, I can't do it. And all he did was text me back, okay, thanks for letting me know. Then come Wednesday, the reason that I did this was not necessarily that I was busy. It was the root cause of the enormous fear that I had. Because being up here and talking and communicating and doing this is scary for me. I can go pass out a dum-dum on campus to anyone at any time, any place, and I'm fine. I can go do a bunch of other different things and I'm fine. What scares me to death is this, being up here talking, because I know that it's something that's special. I know it's something that, you know, God can use me in, and for me, it terrifies me. It really does. You know, and I don't even know if you remember the first time I got to do this, I could barely, you know, I was so nervous that it took me a while to even be able to speak the way that I want to speak. And for me, I started letting that overtake what God had planned for me. And so lies started, and I let fear win. And on that Wednesday, the youth pastor, before our team, we have a team huddle before the event, he comes in there and he basically says, like, since you are my church family, and since things are going to be kind of changing around here, I want to let you know that I actually are going through a divorce. I'm getting divorced, right? And to me, it was just instant, like, gut-wrenching, like, wow, right? Like, look at this guy who I sit here and complain about how busy I was and let fear win, and this, like, he's going through a divorce right now. And so as he went up on stage, you could just see how shattered he was. And for me, it was a really tough pill to swallow, right? And it was one of those stories that I tell you because a lot of times we do let that fear get us. And on a more real note, with this message itself, I let fear procrastinate me to the point of just writing it yesterday, right? Like this week at CCF, yeah, we were busy. Right, we had dum-dum days, we had events every night, we had people stopping by the house. I mean, just yesterday we had 4 or 5 students over and stuff like that. Like, we're busy, but it's like really what it was for me was I'm scared to death. And, you know, I only wrote the intro to this on Thursday by basically forcing it. You know, I even neglected some of my, like, intern duties. It was like, no, I have to, like, at least get something down on paper so that way I get some sort of relief here. But really, it was, I didn't know what to write because I was scared of, like, well, you know, all these lies started pouring in. Like, you can't communicate. You got a boring voice. You can't do it like Dorsey. This is what God, you know, this isn't what God wants you to say. Like, this point that you're making, no, this is stupid. Like, don't write this. The lies have a name, though, and it's Satan. And he knows me just as well as God. And he starts hitting wounds that have been in my life for a while. Like, you won't amount to nothing by pursuing this for your life. Nobody cares about what you have to say. You aren't qualified to talk about this stuff. You don't know anything about the Bible, and you're a sinner. You're ridiculous. You just went to a Christian concert. You know, this was on Friday night. You just went to a Christian concert, and we're on Saturday trying to write it. You just went to a Christian concert on Friday night, and on the drive back, you start yelling and getting angry with your girlfriend over an issue that you actually agree on and only differ slightly. And Satan's been trying to use it to destroy our relationship since the beginning, which leads to her crying for the last 30 minutes of the trip on our 1-year and 8-month anniversary, because we celebrate the month anniversaries. Who are you to get up there and preach anything or encourage someone to care about how busy they are and try and focus on Jesus in their life? What a hypocrite. What a phony. You have no validity to get up there and talk. And then, honestly, the most painful one hits. You'll be lucky if you can't get through the first paragraph. And for me, that meant everything because I struggled heavily with the first paragraph the last time I was up here. And see, all those things were flooding through my head. And for you, maybe you've been in the situation before. Maybe it's not something like getting up here and preaching. Maybe it's actually going and talking to somebody and giving them a dum-dum. Maybe it's stepping into a new calling, and you have all these different lies pouring into you. But then God gives me something to hold on to, and it's not today, Satan. It's not today. You're not going to mess with me today. You really aren't. And I thought about bringing my hat in here and putting it on and all that stuff, but, you know, it just, to me, Satan is the root of everything. And it's the fear that Satan tries to use. And there's a verse in Psalms 27:3 that I hold on to. It's, though a host should go against me, My heart shall not fear. And though war should rise against me, I will be confident. And see, I have a purpose that goes far beyond what I want, what I feel, and what I see. And God gives me the grace to carry on no matter what the opposition is, because the only weapon that I really need is my faith. And all you need is your faith to overcome. And so when the enemy starts trying to attack you and he starts trying to lie to you about these things that God's calling you to step out in, and you're so busy, really, Satan's just trying to use the busyness as a distraction, right? Because God tells us what the intentional design for us is. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to be able to have that with you. He doesn't care that you're busy. We're all busy. Like, congratulations, you have arrived at what you're going to be at for the rest of your life. You are busy. You're always going to be busy. How do we move past that? It's not to I'm not trying to diminish it and say that your level of busyness is what. I don't care. We're all busy, right? Whether you have a lot going on or whether you have a little going on, it's all valid. But see, whatever God is laying in your heart here to start today, lose the busyness. Lose the fear that's holding on to you, and lose the excuses. Even lose the emotions, because sometimes our emotions get the best of us. And it makes us quit. We get insecure about things. Whatever it costs you and whatever it takes, you got to keep moving forward, because God will equip you with a sling and a stone, but then he'll give you some extra stones to spare and the power to defeat the Goliath that's in your horizon. So as the band comes up to join me on stage, some of the things that I want us to think about, and that we really hold on to these key things. You know, you can forget everything else that I said, but remember these. Stop avoiding what God is assigning you to do and using the crutch of being too busy. Because we're all busy. We're always going to be busy. But God's still calling us to a life that he's designed for us. Learn how to focus on God's voice in your life. And that might mean taking some time to be still and being okay with being still and intentionally be with him. The quality of what you're doing is more important than the quantity. You can be trying to do all the different things that you want in the world, but if in that moment when God has you at that divine opportunity to be able to speak truth to someone's life and you're too busy about what's going on around you that you miss the opportunity, you focus on that quantity. I got to keep moving on to my next task, my next goal. And I'm so guilty of this. And I hate it about myself. But I, you know, if I keep trying to focus on this and keep trying to remember that quality is more important than quantity, maybe someone will be interested. And God will use me to be able to do that. And God will be able to use you too if you're willing to listen. So take the time to invest in the individuals, because they will bring other individuals. Similar to the story that I shared earlier, you know, all I did was invest time in one individual, and I didn't even have to do any of the work after that. God just sent them to me, right? I didn't even have to move my feet. All I had to do was move my mouth, and I'm good at that. So at the end of the day, you have a choice. You either glorify busyness and being busy and what it means to be busy, and whether you have a lot or a little bit, you're glorifying it, and you're saying, I'm so busy, or you glorify God. Because Martha teaches us we can't do both, right? She was in the house. She was doing what she thought was like God wanted her to do. But really, when it came down to it, what God wanted was for her to slow everything down and be intentional with him. So Mary teaches us this is the better thing. And so who will you be in the story?